Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Diego? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening to the show, and where you're at. And we will read through those coming up a little bit later on in the show. That comes your way in about 45 minutes from now. So get in your Target Demos now, and we'll read those coming up here at the end of the show to hear from you guys, the loyal D-Aliens. Last night had it all. A lot of it not good. Joining us here on the show to analyze everything that is on the table is our good friend Charles Davis, a member of the NFL on Fox team and a guy that we love to pick his brain regarding the NFL. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Terrific.
Well, last night, I just like to know, as you saw that unfold, what was your reaction?
Horror. Disappointment, to put it mildly. It played into the worst things that people would feel about guys playing in the league. You do this for a living, DA. You know sometimes what the vitriol can be about guys running around playing NFL football. And that played right into it. And to watch guys who understand that these are the best doing it at the highest level they can do it, and that there actually isn't a code that you go by of, we're going to try and take you out cleanly and effectively, but not cross the line. That crossed the line every which way you can cross the line. Absolutely destroyed the line. So whatever punishment is coming Myles Garrett's way, I'm probably not going to have a problem with that. I know Maurkice Pouncey's going to end up getting some punishment because he kicked a guy. You know, this turned into a street fight. But he was there protecting his quarterback, and when someone swings a helmet at a helmetless person on the field, in a lot of ways, DA, I'll stop here, we're actually fortunate it didn't escalate into a lot more.
Totally agree. If that helmet connects to the wrong part of the head,
oh my God,
that is a really scary situation.
Just turned a little, DA, and you get the full helmet. Like what caught Mason Rudolph, that as I saw it, was where you would put your head into the helmet, the open area, not the full part that protects you. Imagine if that part had hit his head. And remember, how many weeks ago was it that he had got knocked out in a game? Earl Thomas hit.
Terrifying.
Missed one or two ball games in his back. We're talking about a bigger, deeper tragedy conversation than what we're talking about now. And I think the league, when they adjudicate this, DA, they'd better take into account intent, not just result.
It's a really interesting point. Is there any part of this where Mason Rudolph, you feel, has some guilt?
Yeah, he's culpable in he was sacked late in the ball game. I think it was questionable taking him to the ground. You know, at that spot, I think if you go back and watch it, that part can be deemed questionable. But, you know, football happens, right? To me, it was a football play, all right? And then you can decide where you want to put your lines on, et cetera. Mason took offense to how he went down and maybe how he was tackled. And then when he grabbed face mask and grabbed head and protested, let me just go ahead and be facetious here. We've never seen that before, right? We've never seen a quarterback squirm and struggle and think that maybe he got hit wrong. We've never seen that. Oh, by the way, he had thrown, four interceptions that night? His team was getting beat. So there's a little frustration there. So if we want to call him culpable for that, sure. Okay? But that turns into a push, shove. Heck, if they want to throw hands, they throw hands, which is dumb because you have headgear on. But we see that all the time, too. Those get penalized. Guys get taken out of games. Fights happen. That wasn't a fight. What Myles Garrett did at the end of it was that wasn't part of the fight. That's not what you do. That was, as I said before, that was street. And when you go street fight, you know, there's no rules, right? And you know, here I am, this middle-class kid from New Paltz, New York, you know, born Elizabeth in Tennessee. I hadn't been in a street fight in my life. So it's not like I'm coming off all hard here. That's not who I am. But I do know that's how it goes down. And that's not how it's supposed to go down in the NFL field. So, yeah, is Mason culpable for that? Sure. If you want to put it there, does that rise to the level of Myles Garrett ripping his helmet off and hitting him with it? Not even close.
Well said. Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. Let me ask you about the organization as a whole. Myles Garrett has been a loose cannon a number of times this year. He's been flagged a million times this year, as has the rest of that organization or the rest of that team. Earlier in the night, Demaryius Randall has a vicious helmet-to-helmet hit that leaves a Steelers player with blood pouring out of his ear. Is any part of the end of that game on a lack of discipline via Freddie Kitchens?
I struggle to get there as much as I feel like it's easy to get there, DA. I struggle to get there because I've been around the game a long time, and I can't, in my mind, come up with a time where a coach has coached dirty play to the extent that we're talking about, that it is rampant through an organization and a team. I can hear people now going, well, what about the Saints? I wasn't there for them. I'm talking about what I've been around. Okay? I wasn't around with all the stories that you and I have heard growing up from our mentors and our parents and people who played. We talked about, well, you know, back in the 40s, if a guy did that, you know what we would do? You remember? You know, we've all heard those. I don't have that in my arsenal. I don't have that in my background at all. So I really struggle to get there. Are they an undisciplined team in terms of playing the game of football? Well, the numbers tell the tale. They lead the league in penalties, correct, DA?
Sure do.
If you talk about an organization that has taken chances on players numerous times over the years that haven't exactly worked out, they would be a team that you would put into that. I still remember Hard Knocks when they were all getting giddy that Josh Gordon was showing up for the umpteenth time and they thought he would be okay. And I was like, when are you guys going to get the memo? This guy's got bigger issues than whether or not he's going to be able to play football. And once again, he couldn't. When they drafted Antonio Callaway, who they just cut, and now he's facing, what, a 10-game suspension? Did I read that correctly, D.A.?
Believe so.
By the league?
Yeah.
When they drafted him, you can find me, and this is not a look-at-me time, but I like to be clear about what I've said or have not said. I was very against that. I said on air when he got drafted, he would not have been on my draft board. This is not a guy, and I remember thinking, you're going to put him in that, and I actually said, you're going to put him in that room in Cleveland? With Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry's a strong personality. He's like the only one who can kind of keep order. That's what you're going to add him to? How'd that turn out? So that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to make an indictment of the Browns and their organization. And I think it's a leap to say that this is all on Freddie Kitchens' head. But he is the head coach, and he'll have to bear the brunt of that and answer those questions. But I don't believe that he's trying to have an organization that culminates in a guy ripping some guy's helmet off and hitting a guy with it. Do I think that he might not be the right guy to be the head coach of the Browns? I said that when he got the job. I don't back off of that stance at all. I thought that was as a head coach, I didn't see it. Now with the team, they've won a couple of games, blah, blah, blah. I still don't believe we can put this all on him. But as the head coach, DA, he's going to have to answer those questions and work to try and fix it, yeah.
Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox joining us this morning on the show. In the wake of a really ugly moment, did you think that Baker Mayfield's post-game comments were actually responsible, mature, and surprisingly refreshing?
They were off the charts incredible is what they were as far as I'm concerned, because you know as well as I do, and anyone hearing our voices knows it too, Baker's been a lightning rod for a number of things, positive and negative, since he's been at Oklahoma, okay? Because that's when people kind of discovered him. They didn't know him at Texas Tech when he was the Rookie of the Year as a walk-on freshman quarterback. But they've known him since then. And one thing about him is, like him or not like him, he's always going to speak what he believes is his truth. And to be able to take on a teammate in that manner last night in that time frame, wow. I don't think many people would have done it. And the thing is, he didn't have to do it. That's the other part, D.A. As the quarterback of that team, as a leader of that team, he could have very well said, I'm keeping my comments in-house, and could have addressed it in-house and done it that way. But he put it out there, and to me, it was for the greater good. He put it out there as a football player, as part of the NFL, not as a member of the Cleveland Browns. That type of action is inexcusable no matter where it comes from. And that was pretty phenomenal for a second-year guy in the league. He may be a captain of the team, but he's still a second-year quarterback. And he essentially called out his teammate for behavior that we're all calling him out for. But typically you close ranks within your own team. But I thought that that wasn't a shot Cleveland to Cleveland. I thought he spoke for the league. He spoke for all of us who love football. And I give him an incredible amount of credit for that because he didn't have to do it.
Yeah, grew up real quick last night. Charles Davis joining us. Yeah, joining us from the NFL on Fox. Finally, you got Cowboys-Lions. Let's pivot to that one. What do you expect from this Cowboys team week to week this week or the rest of the season? They seem so unpredictable.
They are unpredictable, and their biggest problem – not their biggest. There's a lot of issues. Everyone has them, but their slow starts are stunning. You know, that they don't. It takes them a while to get out of the gate. The crazy part is they're playing a team kind of in the opposite. When Matthew Stafford is the quarterback, they come roaring out of the gate, no pun intended, or maybe it was. Maybe I tried for it. Who knows? Bottom line is this Cowboys team coming into Detroit with a backup quarterback anticipated. We don't know yet about Driscoll or Stafford, but that's what we're anticipating. They've got to get after it early, and you've got to be in a position where you're not chasing. You know, you can't give a team like Detroit that's 3-5-1 and searching for something, an opportunity to play from the front and gain confidence, and then you got a real battle on your hands. You got to come in and take care of business. This Cowboys can get that 14 minutes. Okay, we're all the way back, and we're in it the entire way. It's a really good team, but that's not how you want to play. And the second part is they got to figure out that balance of Zeke and Dak. And everybody's like, whose team is it? Is it Dak's team? Is it Zeke's team? Well, I think it can be both. But I think you have to read the room and read critical times. And if it's not Zeke's night and Dak is throwing the heck out of the football, you might want to leave the ball in his hands. And that's something that they as a staff have to go through right now because let's be frank about it, D.A. They are built for it to be Zeke's team, especially in critical situations. Allowing it to be Dak's team in certain situations is something that they have to decide that they're going to let happen. You know, kind of like Seattle had to go through it with Russell Wilson. Well, they totally have gotten there, haven't they? It's totally his. Well, they got to figure out what they're going to do between the Dak and Zeke thing. And I think it's really a matter of what is it that day? Who is more effective that day? That's where they should lean.
Yeah. Charles Davis has the call. Cowboys and Lions this week for the NFL on Fox. We always appreciate his insight and conversation. And, you know, when you have a really good pun, just lean into it and own it. You don't even have to tell anybody if it's intentional or not.
That just tells you the total lack of confidence I have in my pun game. You know, I have zero.
You're too honest. That's the problem here.
I have
here.
Zero. You know, just, it's like, ooh. No. You know, you're like, I just heard that. I just heard what I just said. Yeah, okay. I'll work on it, D.A., with your guidance.
Own it, baby.
I'll get better.
Charles, you're the best, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You take care.
Okay, you too. Charles Davis joining us from the NFL on Fox.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.